to us. If you have not been kind of traveling along with the series that we're in right now, we've been discussing real faith in a counterfeit age. And so what we've been doing is using the book of Matthew as a launching point for us to just look at the things, these counterfeit things that we experience in our age that, to be quite honest with you, are really not new to mankind whatsoever. But this morning, what I want to present to you and I want us to just think about is the lie that says it's no big deal. And this is not a new lie. This is a lie that's been around for generations, centuries, millennium. The lie that says it's no big deal. So Matthew chapter 7, if you'll read along with me, we're going to jump into verse 24, and we're just going to jump in and get started. This is what Jesus said. These are the words of Jesus. This is the wrapping up of the what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Now, my Bible, I got a circle around that and an arrow pointing there to keep my attention to what he says about and does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. I want to stop right there. Some of you right now, you're in a particular season in your life where it just seems like everything is breaking loose against you. And I just want to encourage you that the rock, Jesus, is still strong. And he is worthy of you placing your confidence in him. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Verse 28, and so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught them as one having authority. So the comparison here is this religious activity, these religious duties, all these religious standards and all this information on a religious level that Jesus, in the sum total, not the summation of just this particular section, but what we call Matthew 5, 6, and 7, at the end of this teaching, they were like, whoa, this is different. There's some gumption behind this. There's some authority, there's something powerful behind what he's saying. I've mentioned this before, gotquestions.org. If you're not used to using them, if you're not accustomed to using them as a resource, they have an incredible team of scholars that will provide answers. You can research things. I want to read a little something quick that they have published about this section. But Jesus' sermon was not concerned with house construction or building code violations. That's not the point of what he was talking about. The spiritual meaning of the parable is found in Matthew 7, 24. It's talking about the wise man who built his house on the rock. We are each building a life. The proper foundation for a life is Jesus' words. Not just hearing of them, but the doing of them too. Now, Paul proclaimed to the Corinthians in his letter to them, in the first letter that he sent to the Corinthian believers, in chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, and I would just encourage you to read through the chapter, but we're just going to read verse 10 and 11. I want you to hear what Paul said to this group of people that he was trying to invest in, and he was trying to encourage their pursuit of Jesus. Because of God's grace to me, This is Paul speaking. I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now, you know as well as I do, there are different variations of people that can build that are in the construction industry. I don't know you, so don't take it personally. I don't know where you stand. But you can have somebody that can present themselves as a good builder, and you think, okay, well, they're not laying a slab foundation. They're doing things they should know. But even when you're pouring footers, there's a right way, an excellent way to do that, in the same way that you're pouring a slab. If you're pouring a slab, a lot of times you're a little bit more sensitive because you want to, you know, that there's a larger body of concrete, and so you're a little bit more concerned about, did they tamp it? Is it the right layering? Is it going to be good over a long period of time? And what Paul is saying here, he's not doing this foundation building like a novice who, like, oh, I think that's going to be okay. Because the I think it's going to be okay forms might be good for the first 10 years. But then, like, by year 40, when the house starts to pitch and it's a half inch off in the back left corner, you know, there's a reason for that. So listen to what he's saying. Paul said, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now, because of that, others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have. And he clarifies. He says, Jesus Christ. So as we've been talking about making disciples and apprentice, this is a thing that we, especially in our current culture, we have to guard ourselves against. Yes, we are to invest. Yes, we are to bring people along. But the process of laying this foundation for ourselves first and then for other people is that we have to constantly keep directing people toward Yeshua, Jesus, the Son of the living God. It's all about Jesus. And that's what we continue to do in this church family. I want you to be in love with Jesus Christ and what he's done on your behalf, first and foremost. That's the number one thing. Now, let's jump to Matthew chapter 15. If you have your scripture, if you want to follow along, Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and you'll see that when we get down here a couple weeks ago, I referenced a couple verses here. We're going to get the context of what Jesus was saying here in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrive from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They ask him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old traditions? Now, can you hang with me? Because I know this is serious, but it's sort of comical at the same time. Okay? I'm just going to be honest about the way I look at this. For they ignore our traditions of ceremonial hand washing before they eat. Now, I'm not saying it's not important because they had dietary laws, they had all different kinds of things going on. Okay? And I know my mom, when I was growing up, she was concerned about the same thing, but she had good reasons to be concerned. Okay? But look at what's going on here. Jesus replied, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? And use this as an example. For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father and mother must be put to death. Ooh, kids. Anyway, we'll keep reading. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, hey, sorry, I can't help you. And listen to the excuse for why you can't help your parents. This is a good one. For I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. Anyway. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites. I like my version. I got you stinking hypocrites. It just reads better. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come together and hear. Listen, he said, and try to understand. That's what he would have said to me if I was in a group. Hey, Tim, pay attention. Keep your eyes on me. Try to get this. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Then the disciples came to him and they asked. I like this. He's got all this rich teaching. The disciples come to him and they ask, do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? I think that's funny. Then Jesus replied, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted, so ignore them. I'm just throwing this out there. There's somebody here this morning that you have people in your life that for whatever reason you've given them your ear, and the negative things that they say about you really bug you and get underneath your skin. Ignore them. Just ignore them. It's really simple. Doesn't have anything to do with the lesson, but it's in here. Somebody needs to hear that. You just need to ignore them. Ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind, and if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into the ditch. Just focus on that. Verse 15. Then Peter said to Jesus, I love this. Explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Can we go back to that? Can you explain that to me? And then he said, don't you understand yet? Jesus asked, anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. You just picture that yourself. I got nothing to say. Stay focused, Duggins. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. Craig Groeschel says this. Just as we are what we eat physically, we are also what we consume spiritually. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. This is not a new struggle. We believe lies. We convince ourselves. We fool ourselves. We have to be very careful and evaluate ourselves. Verse 23, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. You can't even remember the image that you were looking at earlier. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, when I open up the scripture and I'm studying and I look into it, when I pursue and open up and I say, God, help me to do that, it's not me being put in bondage. It's actually releasing me from bondage and I'm going to be able to break free and walk in freedom. It sets me free. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. I've heard for a lot of years now, a lot of Christian teenagers, young adults, as well as adults of all ages, and I'm talking about the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. Are you tracking with me? It's been a while. It's been a couple days. A lot of rotations A lot of rotations. And this is what I've heard consistently. It's nothing new. I've listened to this. I'm not talking about outside the church. I'm talking about within the church. This is what I've heard. I've heard this said consistently. Hey, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Come on. It doesn't really matter. It's what's in my heart that matters. It's no big deal. It's what's in my heart that matters. The lie that we believe is that what we put into our minds, what we put into our hearts, and what we deposit into our souls has no effect on who we are. This stuff has no effect on me because in my heart I love God. The music we listen to, which influences our mood, the books we read, the movies we prefer, the websites we frequent, and the comedy that makes us laugh. What we consume has a tendency to consume our minds. What type of foundation are you building for yourself? Some of you, you scapegoat, you blame shift very well. Could be an Olympic sport. You've perfected it that well. What we are talking about right now is individual choices for an individual foundation. I don't care what you say to me, what you do to me, what I am responsible for my foundation. Period. The battle for our hearts and minds is very real. Craig Gershell says this: our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. What we think shapes who we are. He also says, I'll read it slow. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. When we're not intentional about our thought lives, we can be vulnerable to painful, destructive thought patterns and not even know where the thoughts are coming from. Hear my heart. I deal with this all the time. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation in what I'm proclaiming this morning. If anything, once again, it's confessional. I'm speaking from my heart about my foundation and my battle. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. I want you to hear what is being said to this group of people. He addresses them, verse 17, dear brothers and sisters. He's not talking to people who reject or are pagan or say they don't believe. He's talking to people that claim to be Christ followers. Pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, from a heavy broken heart, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Not what they say, but the way that they live says that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about life here on the earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. If we're not very careful, we believe the lie to the point that we lie to ourselves about ourselves. If you looking at me, if you think I get a get out of jail free card for this, I don't. I'm in the same battle that you're in. Think about this. What we consume, we become. Some of us can relate to this testimonial. This person says, so many times in my life, I didn't like where my thought patterns were going. Then I began to consider what am I watching? What am I listening to? And who am I talking to on a regular basis? And I would tell myself that these things are not going to change me. My heart's in the right place. I'm stronger than these things. You become what you consume. Don't follow what feels good. Follow what is good. Huge difference between the two. In our current culture, we need to support our kids. We need to support our young adults. We need to support our college students. Because the world that we live in, all of us as adults, we know it's all about what feels good. It's not about what is good. There's a constant pressure. Let me throw out a couple of resources for you. The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. You would consider this an old edition. This would be an old book. But The Power of Directing Your Heart and Mind Toward Jesus and Changing Your Thought Life, it's still powerful. Another one, it's current. It's a good one. If you haven't listened to it, it's on Audible. I would encourage you to pull it up. And for some of you, this will set you free and it'll be mind-altering. It's by Craig Rochelle, Winning the War in Your Mind. I recommend it. It's on my bookshelf. I hand it out to people. Powerful book of you trying to realign. And what he does is he takes the truth of Scripture, and then he takes the truth of Scripture and he exalts it, but he brings scientific evidence to show you that what God has been saying all along actually works. That's just a side note. Let me give you four quick things. These are quick ideas. Some of you, you need consumption correction. So I'm going to give you four quick things for consumption correction for following Christ. If you're not following Christ, if you don't believe in him, you can just hang out right now. But for those of you that are pressing in and you're following Christ, let me give you four quick things. And these are four things that I do, I have done, and I have to do each day of my life. First thing, intentionally fill the gaps with life-giving content. Fill the gaps with life-giving content. And I just want to say this. Some of you are like me. Your gaps, I'll just use the word stuff. You've got stuff in your gaps. And for a long time, you've been putting stuff in your gaps. You fill in the blanks. I'm taking the high road in what I'm saying right now. Okay? And some of you, your religious background, you're like me. So what you've been doing is you've been trying to take a pick and anything sharp or a little spoon, and you've been trying to dig the stuff out of the cracks. And so what you wind up doing is getting so focused on the stuff that you forget about what you should be doing. And so what revolutionized my mind and my life is when I stopped trying to get the stuff out of the gaps and I started filling my gaps. And I would say, well, there's no room. It's amazing how the Word of God and how the Spirit of God, when I started trying to fill the gaps with positive godly content, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit began to do what God had been wanting to do in my life all along. And he started cleaning up the stuff in my gaps. And he started changing the way my gaps were filled. And it was revolutionary in my mind. So, intentionally fill the gaps with life-giving content. Number two, talk to people who uplift you. I want to be a light, and I want to be a blessing. If they're crushing you, pulling you down, if they're not helping you, You need to make some modifications. You need to rearrange. And you need to be around people that lift you up, not drag you down. And in our current culture, it's amazing how popular it is to defame, destroy, and to pull people down. That's not what we're called to do. And if that's who you're around, you can finish my statement. Anyway, number three. Read the Word and remind yourself of God's track record. Some of you, you beat yourself up. What you constantly do is remind yourself of your track record. Stop doing that. Pour the Word of God over yourself and remind yourself of His track record, not your past. There we go. How many of you like that diesel sound? Okay, good. Number four, learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. Don't talk about it. Don't make excuses. Don't rationalize. Don't theologue me to death. Just learn personally to depend on the Holy Spirit. You know what that means for you? I don't know what that means for you. Just depend on the Holy Spirit. Paul goes into great detail about what it looks like to pursue living that reflects the holiness of our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me just remind you, He is Holy Spirit, not because He's twisted, perverted, and dirty. Jesus was holy. The Father in heaven. Old Testament, New Testament. I rest my case. I want you to study Ephesians 4, 17 through 5, 21 to evaluate the teaching of the importance of the things that we say and do. But we're not going to read all that this morning. What I want to do is just take a couple of verses from Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Some of you right now, you speak the truth. But let's be honest, you don't care about the other person. You've got your grand proclamation that you're making. The scripture says, no, we're trying to proclaim and build other people up based on their needs, not on your need and what you think that you want to say. Big difference between the two. I'll keep reading. I need to shut up right now. That it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You've been sealed waiting for that ultimate day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, the Greek word translated here, grieve, some of you, this is going to be new information. It means to cause, to feel sorrow, pain, unhappiness, or distress. You can compare that with Isaiah 63, 9 and 10, and Psalm 106, verse 33. As followers of Christ, our lives can bring sorrow, pain, or unhappiness to God's Holy Spirit by the way that we live. If you are a Christ follower, do you even understand that you can bring unhappiness or sorrow to the very presence of God in your life? That's a powerful consideration. So let's evaluate our lives today. I want to wrap things up with Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Nothing's changed. Old Testament, New Testament, there's still this thread about what we're talking about. And let's not believe the lie, because it really does matter. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Who's got your ear? Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Isn't it amazing the relational impact that the psalmist is talking about? But his delight is in the law or the instruction of the Lord, and on his law, his instruction, he meditates day and night. And because of that, he is like a tree that is planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. like I ask, let's evaluate our lives today. What type of foundation are you creating for yourself? This is all about me and us this morning. And mate, I try to be honest and truthful with you guys. You know what's still taking place in my life? I'm discovering areas of my foundation that I thought were laid properly, and I find out that it was a religious foundation that was not based in Christ and was not based in the Scripture. It was handed off to me as church tradition. And so what is still taking place in my life, in our terminology, is the Holy Spirit is jackhammering parts of my foundation, and it's being carted away, and my foundation is being shored up and changed and rearranged and reformed, and the proper foundation is being laid in my life so that I can understand, and so that even now in my family and in my friends, so that my foundation is all about Jesus, and so it can be built on for other people. Evaluate your consumption. What we consume determines the life that we live. To not embrace this as reality, you are embracing a lie and setting yourself up for failure in God's kingdom. What are the effects of your consumption of music, books, movies, websites, and comedy? Does it bolster the flesh or the spirit? Are you feeding the flesh, or are you yielding to the spirit by that consumption? What are the effects of your friendships? Do they lift you up, or do they yank you down? Your foundation in Christ matters. One day your life will reveal, one day before God, your life will reveal, and even on this earth, what your habits built. The world says it's no big deal. Sand is good. Now, for those of you, I know it's a beach season. Some of you, you've already gotten back from the beach. Please understand, I'm not anti-sand. I'm not anti-beach. I want you to go to the beach, roll around the sand. You know, some of you hate the sand, but most of you love being in the sand. Dig holes. Do whatever. Enjoy the sand. Just don't build a house on it. I'm just saying, enjoy it. Says, the world says it's no big deal, sand is good. Jesus says, build on the rock, and that's me. Jesus is the rock. We got to build on him. Evaluate your foundation. As your foundation is formed by your influences, your habits, and your thought life. What you consume today is shaping who you will become tomorrow. When you're born, you look like your parents. I still get a kick out of that. It's funny. I'm a guy. I can't see things. Little babies, all the ladies standing around. Oh my gosh, she looks like Aunt Sarah. I think which looks like in the family tree. I'm like, it's a smashed nose. It was a traumatic delivery. How do you think that even looks like a human being right now? I will say, in all honesty, I never met the mother, so maybe it does. I don't know. But anyway, that's a side note. When you're born, you look like your parents. When you die, you look like your habits based on the foundation that you have built. When you die, you look like your habits based on the foundation you have built. The lie. What is the lie? Oh, it's no big deal. Let's stand and worship together.